Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning. We will have another edition of Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30. So looking forward to that. Not a great week for any of us in Pigskin Pick'em this last time around. We'll try to rebound coming up at 9:30.
Cheeks all the way around.
And Joe, we had an opportunity to make up some ground last week on Michelle, and didn't happen.
Yeah. At least there was an opportunity.
That's true.
Yeah, so
that's got to be your worst week, right?
First time I went under 500.
I've gone 2-4 3 weeks in a row.
Well, not good. I just had a nice 1-5, so.
Try to rebound.
Bounce back week.
That's right. Bounce back week coming up. I'm sorry, I got distracted. Bill Belichick's in a nice, like, what kind of a jacket would you call that in his post-game press conference last night?
Wow. Very stylish. Wow. It kind of looks like Derek Mason's vest on the sideline when they beat Tennessee a few years ago, except it's the full jacket.
Yeah.
Between that and his son's mullet, they're kind of a fashion plate team.
Yeah, that the Belichick family. You can catch them on the runway of some fashion show very soon. I think you'll be able to do that.
Does it all, man.
Good stuff, that Bill Belichick. Joe, we've I think a lot of Titans fans anticipate that this is going to be a win for the Titans coming up on Sunday. It should be for a win for the Titans against one of the NFL's worst teams. You can make an argument Houston's the worst team in the league right now. I know that Detroit has not won a game. They had a dramatic tie on Sunday, but Detroit at least has been pretty close on multiple occasions this year, and Houston, quite frankly, has just been atrocious like the last 5 or 6 weeks. So it's a really bad football team coming in on Sunday. We have had similar discussions in the past about bad football teams that the Titans have played against. Your keys to victory for the Titans as they take on the Houston Texans on Sunday in a game where everyone across the board pretty much expects them to win.
Well, Shane Bowen hit on this earlier, and obviously this is very much, I mean, this is absolutely what you make clear to your players in a week like this. I think TD asked Vrabel earlier this week about like the difference on paper, and Vrabel's like, well, I don't look at games on paper, but you know, everybody knows everybody's record in this league. Players know if a team is bad that they're playing, or if a team's good, and it's easier to get your team up for the good teams and the bad teams. That's pretty basic stuff. I will say with the Texans, like Shane Bowen pointed out, you know, they certainly looked a lot better than the Jaguars in week 1. They blew them off the field. And I watched a lot of the Browns game the next week, and Tyrod Taylor looked pretty good. Then he gets hurt. And there's so if you wanted to stretch your mind a little bit, and of course Shane was like, well, some rust, you know, against the Dolphins, you know. But, and of course, they lost 17-9. But they do look a lot different with him at quarterback as compared to Davis Mills at quarterback. I don't think they're the worst team in the NFL with him at quarterback. They're still bad. Titans should still win, no question about it. But I don't think that they are the worst. I think they're, well, potentially better than the Jags, Lions, Jets, which you've already lost to.
You better not disrespect Davis Mills like that. He can probably see you from where he is right now.
All of a sudden he just pops up through the window over here.
Wouldn't have to jump. Just looks right in.
It's been a while since you made a Davis Mills long neck joke. Congratulations.
Maybe number 2 or 3 on the list of what I'm looking forward to watching on Sunday. Hopefully Davis Mills gets in there at some point.
Just him. It is him. Like, he has to stand behind everyone on the sideline because otherwise, he's like,
down in front.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Well, who's in the third row at Nissan Stadium on Sunday? It's going to be a tough time seeing if you're on the Houston sideline. All right, I'm done. Continue.
Well, the Titans would love to see him in the game. You know, they'd rather he get off that sideline and get in the game. But in the meantime, Tyrod Taylor, look, it's – I mean, he's been a solid player. Like, he's been like that sort of, you know, lower third of the league starter. I mean, he actually was doing pretty well with the Chargers last year. And then he had a freaking hypodermic needle mishap.
Inside,
you know,
job.
Before the game. Yeah. So, like, I think the defense can be, you know, stressed by him. a bit. You got a guy who can create out of loose broken plays. You know, Brandon Cooks is a good receiver. Brandon Cooks is good. And what's he got? He's got 84, or he's got 57 for 641 right now. Chris kind of like, you know, Chris Conley is not bad. I mean, they've got some guys. I think the big thing to me is that you want to get your offense rolling in this game. You know, this is a game where you feel now like pretty good, like that your defense is going to keep you in games and sometimes win you games. But this is now the offense, two straight weeks, very underwhelming, very good defenses. Like, you want to handle a team. And this is a team that you should handle. And that's where the Texans are just bad. They're just bad on defense. I respect them more offensively than defensively. And I think the Titans should have a balanced performance. I'm curious to see who plays right guard, if Nate Davis, you know, because Aaron Bruen was out with illness. Now, that certainly doesn't mean he would be out. It would probably be him, but it could be Dylan Raidens. But the offensive line, you know, have a good game. Build some confidence. Build some chemistry and try to get it going toward the stretch run. Because if they play well, then I think you're going to see a much better rushing performance from whoever gets the ball, and I think that Tannehill will take advantage.
Kyle on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyrod Taylor is today's Brian Hoyer. What do you think of that? Just bouncing around.
Yeah, kind of like the backup guy. Good backup. Good to have him as a backup. And if he's your starter, it's not the worst thing in the world. I might say Tyrod Taylor's a little bit better than Brian Hoyer. All due respect to my guy Brian Hoyer.
Who are you taking, Tyrod Taylor or Taysom Hill?
Taysom Hill does it all, man.
100% completion.
How could you make the comparison?
I'm just asking the question.
How does anyone beat that team with Taysom Hill on their team? I don't even know.
Just throwing it out there. You know, we were talking to TD earlier, and he brought this up in his Whiteboard Wednesday earlier this week. You know, it's a limited sample size with Taylor at quarterback for Houston, but I think two of the times he's been in there, he has targeted Brandon Cooks 14 times in a game. 14 times for Brandon Cooks. So, you know, they're going to be looking Brandon Cooks' way a lot. And that's interesting because you look at cornerback right now for the Titans. You got Jackrabbit Jenkins on the injury report with a chest. Obviously, we saw Chris Jackson last week. He's been on the injury report this week as well. Feel good about Christian Fulton being back in there. And, by the way, Shane Bowen saying earlier he's knocking some of the rust off. I would like to see what Christian Fulton looks like when the rust is knocked off based on the way he played last week, because he was pretty good.
He was, yeah. No, and that's a big deal for this defense. And David Long also, you know, still hasn't been on the practice field, you know, that hamstring. But getting Fulton going, you know, getting him back in there now is big, especially with these other injuries. I don't know what's their starting group. If it, you know, is it, if Jenkins can't go, is it Molden, Fulton, and I'm not even sure. Like, would it be Chris Jones? Greg Maben could be back.
Yeah. Let's call up Breon Borders. Put him out there.
I mean, you've got. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you do have Body Calhoun, and you do have Borders, right? Do they not have Borders on the practice squad? I cannot keep up anymore with this team.
Well, he's out there and available if he's not on the practice squad.
I thought Borders,
give him a call today.
I thought Borders had been signed to the practice squad, which I said earlier, and apparently I'm wrong. Where the heck is Breon Borders? Breon Borders is good enough to be on a team. Am I wrong about that?
I think so. I think he is good enough to be on a team, not that you're wrong.
Yeah. Right?
He's on the practice squad.
He's not, as I go to their website, listed on the practice squad.
From Titans Wire the other day, Titans bring cornerback Breon Borders back on the practice squad.
So their website is not updated.
Yeah.
Tisk, tisk. Or can I not read a website?
I don't know.
Of the two, and both are a problem.
Either way, looks like Breon Borders is available if you need to make a phone call. Yes, he's good enough to play in the league. Like, he's had some good moments this year. Had some good moments last year, too. Now, it's not perfect. In the Buffalo game, he struggled out there. But, I mean, you could do worse than Breon Borders in your secondary, I would think. You were very perplexed.
He's not listed. I'm sorry. He's not listed on the practice squad. I mean, their website typically is very, it's updated by the minute. So am I missing him on the active roster?
That on November the 11th, Jim Wyatt tweeted that Breon Borders is back on the Titans practice squad. So I guess he could have been moved since then, but that's what was tweeted.
Okay. Someone solve this mystery for us.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. The NFL season is giving us a big Week 11 divisional matchup between Arizona and Seattle, and FanDuel Sportsbook about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win, and that means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I like Seattle in this game. I think Russell Wilson's going to start healing up a little bit more, and they're going to get a big win coming up this weekend. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. When you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours, and you can see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code ROB this week before the Cardinals take on the Seahawks, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. So remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join Chase McCabe tomorrow at Jonathan's in Germantown at 717 3rd Avenue North and catch the SEC Game of the Week, which is Arkansas taking on Alabama. You can enjoy some great food, beer specials, and grab some game swag as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe, I believe we have some clarity on the Breon Borders situation. He is on the practice squad. According to John Glennon, protected the other day on the practice squad. So it looks like Breon Borders going to be a part of things, at least on the practice squad for the Titans as they move forward here. So good to know that Breon Borders still an option for the Tennessee Titans back there on the fold. Dennis on the text line pointing that out. Had a couple people on the text line texting it. So thank you to our listeners on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
You didn't just see that?
No, what happened?
I just completely did it again to my nose with the freaking, my God, the other side.
With the headphones?
Yeah.
What is going on over here?
We got it on video.
I did not see that.
I mean, I don't know. It hurts. But yeah, the Titans have to update their website. I mean, I've gone up and down the website. It does not list him as someone who's part of the organization right now.
Yeah. So,
update your website.
JD on the text line, is David Long Jr. back this week?
I mean, he hasn't participated, and it's a hamstring. I'm going to guess.
Probably not.
No, right now. Now, will Vrabel rule him out today? I don't know, but I'd guess no on David Long. So you'd be looking at Monty Rice, Jayon Brown, but Rashawn Evans, there are signs that, and that's an interesting thing too. I guess we should have asked Shane Bowen that. If Evans is available, what's your starting duo at linebacker?
Yeah.
Do you go back to the old school Evans Brown? They've played together quite a bit. Or is Evans in reserve because he's coming back from the ankle? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think Monty Rice, that was a really encouraging performance last week for him.
Dale on YouTube, we just need to sign someone new for the record. Just go ahead and get that injury record out of the way, according to Dale on YouTube.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I'm sure it'll get there. Well, oh, you got to sign them, and then you got to actually, you know, they've got to be active.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure it'll be no problem to get that.
Probably going
to
get there at some point this year would be my guess on that front. So we talked to TD earlier in the show and brought up the running game. He mentioned that Houston 31st in the league against the run. Obviously, you think of the last couple of weeks for the Titans, they've not been able to run the ball very well against two very stout defenses in the Rams and the Saints, especially up front. This is not a stout defense. I asked him this question. I will ask you this question as well. If the Titans do not run the ball effectively against Houston, how concerned will you be about what that means for this group moving forward without Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I'd say pretty concerned. And effectively, again, I think you need to be in triple digits. I mean, they've been, what were they, 29 for 66 last week. You know, you need to be over 100. It doesn't have to be some 200-yard college-like rushing performance, but triple digits and just some, you know, just some more success and some more second and six as opposed to second and nine. Or, you know, pass on first down too, by the way. That's also fine. I'm just saying, you just want to be able to get some rhythm going with that. And I think get some rhythm going with, I think, a particular guy. I mean, I think it'd be good for one of the two backs to emerge. I'm predicting and guessing that back is more likely to be Deontay Foreman, but you know, it's also possible at some point that all of a sudden Adrian Peterson gets that fountain of youth going and pops off too, and that's possible. I just feel like so far, Foreman has looked better. I mean, if you look at the Texans, you know, overall, they're 30th in the league in defense, yards per game, 386 a game. They're giving up 5.96 a play. That's 28th. Rushing yards, 31st. Passing yards per play, they're 28th, 7.67 a play. I mean, where are they good? They are pretty good. Their interception rate is 7th. But across the board, third down, they're allowing 44%, which is 27th. And by the way, when you think of that, remember, 44% is 27th in the league. The Titans last year were at 52 almost. So, red zone, they're in the 20s. Goal to go, they're 25th. I mean, every sort of defensive category, they are subpar. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. And that's – the Titans are good enough. I'm certain that the Titans are good enough with what they have to go take advantage of that. I also am looking for Marcus Johnson to see if he can string together performances. And I don't see why he can't. I think Marcus Johnson – I don't agree that Marcus Johnson is just the same as – the other guys. I think he's got a little bit more of that. He's got a little bit more speed, a little bit more juice, and I think that the Titans should exploit that and try to get him on a roll.
Well, and I'm interested to see A.J. Brown as well. I mean, it's obvious the Texans defense, probably every defense here moving forward, especially while Julio Jones is out, they're going to put a whole lot of attention towards A.J. Brown. They're going to, shadow some coverage his way. He'll probably be doubled on some occasions as well. Defenses are going to play too high, try to take away the pass down the field from the Titans. There's going to be a lot of things that they try to do. You know, A.J. Brown is not exclusive in that regard in the league of players and defenses trying to take receivers away. You know, you got to find a way to overcome it and find a way to fight through it. Now, that also should mean that if they're doing that, guys like Marcus Johnson should be able to take advantage of it. But still, you need to see more than one catch for 16 yards from A.J. Brown coming up this week, regardless of what the defense looks like, and need to see more than four targets as well.
Yeah, and I agree some of TD's ideas on just – yeah. And look, actually, I think we saw it last week. Get A.J. Brown a quick little handoff, line him up as a wing, line him up in the backfield here and there, work to their advantage on that little throwback screen, probably the best offensive play of the day for them. And I'd keep doing stuff like that, get him the ball. Remember those Jonnu Smith handoffs?
Yeah. It's a little pitch.
A.J. Brown would be a pretty good – like Cordarrelle Patterson – the receiver who's a power back. I mean, what if A.J. Brown got like 20 carries in a game? I bet you he'd be pretty freaking good.
I think he would be too.
You know, get him the ball quickly. Let him get some stuff going there and then try to get some stuff downfield. If you can, if Tannehill can have a nice clean pocket against this team, then, Tannehill can have a huge day. And I think this is, frankly, just a big step down from playing the Rams and the Saints up front.
Looks like the Buffalo Bills have signed offensive tackle Bobby Hart off of the Tennessee Titans practice squad. So now, Chris Broussard, you got Bobby Hart and Taylor Lewan, according to Chris Broussard, on the Bills. How about that?
That is interesting, though. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the Titans signed him off the Bills practice squad. Am I right?
I think so.
Yes. So the Titans and Bills, possibly the two top contenders in the league, are having a Bobby Hart off.
Bidding war.
A Bobby Hart off. They've signed him off each other's practice squads. That's a – look, he has struggled a bit. But, like the Kansas City game, he had to play the whole game. He's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – with Tyson Brailo moving on, It wasn't bad to have Bobby Hart around. That kind of hurts, potentially.
Yeah. I just hope that Chris Broussard's going to be okay now.
Yeah, he's going to, boy, need to do some roster review before the next show.
Yes, he is. Well, shout out to Bobby Hart. Glad he can still can just kind of waffle back and forth between two of maybe the best contenders in the AFC.
Which,
who do you think he ends up with?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Which team will he be on when they meet in the AFC Championship game?
That's a good question. It's a very good question.
Maybe he'll be on the Ravens somehow.
If the Titans win the Super Bowl and he's not back on the team, like, does Bobby Hart get a ring? He get a ring out of this? He's been a contributor. Yeah.
I mean, the guy started at left tackle and helped you win a game. Absolutely, he gets a ring. I mean, if the Titans win the Super Bowl, Amy Adams Strunk, you got some rings to buy.
That's right.
You got some serious rings to buy.
Let's quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dante, who wants to weigh in. Dante, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you all doing today?
We're good.
Good.
Good, good. So this is a Bears fan calling in, but I do watch a lot of your football. I've been stationed here in Fort Campbell twice throughout my career, so seen a lot. Been to a couple of Titans games. But just understanding what's going on this year, I had a question, then I had a statement. So do you all think this is going to be a trap game? And the reason I ask that question is because the Titans, I think they already know what their identity is. We've gotten that past that mark already in the season. But with a game like this, I think you really find out, Vrabel's going to find out what his team really wants for the remainder of the season. That's just how I'm viewing it right now, whether they go out and compete and really, there's an opportunity to really blow the Texans out. So I'm just asking you all, really, do you think this is going to be, I guess, a trap game or really a statement game to see what kind of team Tennessee has for the remainder of the season? And I do like your idea, by the way, about using Brown like they used Patterson in Atlanta. I think more teams should start doing that, really get the word out of these really world-class athletes. So that's all I got, gents. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dante. We appreciate it. You know, I don't know that I'd say trap game, just because it is a divisional game still. Like, you're very familiar with these type opponents. I will say this, and I had somebody bring this up to me the other day that I hadn't really thought about before, but, like, maybe the idea of trap games in the past, like, you're on the Titans and you think to yourself, well, we got Derrick Henry. He's just going to run right down their throat. I mean, you don't really have that anymore. Does that help with the idea of, you better be focused based on the way you've played offensively the last couple of weeks, because you don't have 22 back there? Maybe it helps in that regard. I don't know. That was just an interesting theory that got floated out to me by a buddy.
That's an interesting thought. If I'm the Titans, I'd much rather think that and have him.
Well, yeah.
Then, hey, good thing 22 is not here. We can avoid trap games.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I think you're right. There is a certain level of everything's going to be fine because Derek will shred that team. And now it's like, who is going to, get the production? I mean, the offense is averaging about 230 a game in two games without Derrick Henry. So is it a statement game if they blow out the Texans, though? To Dante's point, I don't know if it's a statement or if it's like some – I mean, I think he's right. Like, they know what their identity is. It'll be very disappointing. If they lose, it'll be very disappointing. I think it'll be disappointing if they're in a close game, but honestly, I won't be shocked by that.
If this is a slugfest on Sunday, the reaction, and you talk about the disrespect from the national media, that'll be back on the table next week. They will not be big fans of the Titans.
Those power rankings. Watch out for the power rankings. You got to keep that power ranking high. Yeah, to me, it's just find a way to win. Stack the wins. You're going for the one seed. You're trying to get healthy. Trying to get everything back together for a run in January, get through this game. But, yeah, if you could have an easier game, I think that would really benefit this team. It is now, before what has all of a sudden turned into a very big game next week in New England. But, like, the whole looking ahead to another game, I think that's largely overrated.
Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got our picks for our college football and NFL games over the weekend. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update from last week, which did not go well for any of us.
Yeah, I went 1-5 with 1 point. You went 2-4 with 2 points. Michelle went 2-4 with 2 points. At least Michelle had a bad week for the first time ever. None of us had our locks. And Michelle now is at 40-20, 46 points, 6-4 on her locks. You have repassed me at 28-32, 30 points, 2-8 in your locks. We are tied with 30 points. I'm 27-33. I'm 3-7 in my locks. So it's basically you and I battling to be the least worst.
With that in mind, we get started today. Vanderbilt taking on Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 36.5-point favorites in this game against Vanderbilt. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss.
See, honestly, I haven't really looked at any of the games yet, so we're guessing today, and hopefully it works in my favor. But okay. I feel like that line is very big. I mean, we even saw them score some points on Kentucky, so I'm actually going Vanderbilt with this one.
All right, going Vanderbilt to cover the 36.5-point spread. Joe Rex wrote Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. Ole Miss favored by 36.5.
I want to know if Lane Kiffin has any kind of personal issue with Clark Lee.
I don't think so.
That would have been a good question to ask.
As far as I know, no. So I'm also going to go Vandy. I think that's just a massive line. I mean, I think Ole Miss is going to win going away, but I don't think they're going to keep the steam on the entire game. So give me Vanderbilt in the 36.5 freaking points.
Give me Ole Miss. Ole Miss is going to put up at least 60 in this game. Give me Ole Miss.
Ooh,
against
60.
Vanderbilt, yes. South That's Alabama.
A cold shot.
South Alabama versus Tennessee. The Vols favored by 28.5 in this game. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. South Alabama and Tennessee.
I'd feel a lot better about 27.5.
Yep.
But I just think Tennessee has some frustration to get out. I think they're just, you know, they're going to run their offense. And I think running their offense is going to result in a lot of points on the board. And I think we're probably going to see Hendon Hooker put up points, and we're going to see Joe Milton come in and put up some points too. So I will go ahead and give those points and take the Vols.
I have a late cover for Tennessee. Late cover, late touchdown by Tennessee covers the spread. Give me the Vols minus the 28.5. Michelle Knezovic, South Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 28.5.
I feel like this week is particularly hard. 28.5?
Yeah.
No, I'm taking South Alabama.
Ooh.
Don't even know who they're playing. Taking them anyway.
Taking them anyway. Yeah, like I said, guys, this week I'm really just going off the cuff.
There you go.
Taking directional whatever state they're from.
Yes,
yeah, whatever. Right. But yeah, we're going to go with them. I think UT's hit their peak of the season. And
wow.
I don't
Still upset. Still mad.
The tears are still flowing out there.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm sitting nice at the top in this pigskin pick'em, right. So I can afford to be a little risky with my picks.
That's right. The Texans and the Titans coming up on Sunday. The Titans favored by 10 points in this game. I'll start us off on this one. Give me the Titans. I think they're just going to destroy the Texans. I don't think this is going to be overly close. The Texans defense is awful. I think Ryan Tannehill has a big day. I think the Titans win by about 17 in this game. Give me the Titans minus 10. Michelle Knezovic, the Titans and the Texans. Titans favored by 10.
Going the same thing. Give me the Titans minus 10.
Joe Rexrode, the Titans and the Texans. You've been kind of hinting at maybe your answer all week. We'll see if it goes the way I think it's going to. Titans minus 10.
Yeah, well, I've been saying it could happen. I can't put my money where my mouth is on that. Yeah, I'll take the Titans and give the 10. They should win this game by a couple touchdowns plus and should roll through that defense.
We now move to the individual portion of our Pigskin Pick'em competition, college football and NFL on the table. Michelle, we begin with you. Your first individual selection is what?
So, guys, I have these little sticky notes in front of me of all these random games, and we're just going to pick one right now.
All right.
One we've seen a lot in the national news this week, Chiefs-Cowboys. Chiefs favored 2.5.
Yep.
I think that the Chiefs had a great performance last week. And I think they beat the Cowboys. They're on the upcome. So give me the Chiefs, minus 2.5.
I would go in direct opposition to you. Give me the Cowboys plus 2.5. I think the Cowboys win the game outright.
Probably not.
See what happens on that front. Dak Prescott and that Cowboys offense playing really well, and I need to see it more than one time out of the Chiefs before I believe.
I love it.
Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
I'm just going to tell you guys right now, I'm trying something new after a 1-5. I hate you, college football. I love you, but I hate you. I'm not picking any college games. I'm going all NFL this week.
Okay.
And my first NFL game, Steelers at the Chargers minus 6. Chargers defense, boy, looks shaky. Steelers, of course, coming off their own shaky game. I think the Chargers at home are going to cover the 6. Give me the Chargers minus 6.
Chargers minus 6 against the Steelers at home. Kick us off with our second round of individual selections as well. Joe Rexroad.
You know, Urban Meyer, I mean, they got the win over the Bills. They go into Indy, and they give a really good effort. They're right there. Like, you can see progress. They're at home against the Niners. Jaguars getting 6.5. It's about time the Jacksonville Jaguars look like the Jacksonville Jaguars again. Give me the 49ers that make it my lock.
49ers minus 6.5 against the Jags. Joe Rexroad locking down on that selection. Michelle Knezvik, your second individual selection.
I'm switching back over to college football. Alabama favored by 21.5 over Arkansas. Give me Alabama. Easy money, cover, win, all of it, all of the above.
Alabama. That's a good pick. Alabama minus 21.5 against Arkansas. Feel pretty good about that one for Michelle Knezvik.
Yeah, I like that one.
I will stick in the NFL. Packers minus 1.5 against the Vikings. Lock it down. Pack win by at least a touchdown. Everybody's making a big deal about Aaron Rodgers' toe injury. He's going to play. He's going to throw a lot of touchdowns. Packers minus 1.5. Make it my lock of the week. And I will close this off with our third round of individual selections as well. Give me Iowa State plus 3.5 against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is getting ready to fall apart. They're going to lose every one of their last three games. They lose outright to Iowa State, but I'll take Iowa State plus 3.5 against Oklahoma in this game. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Real quick, did you see Matt Campbell's presser this week?
Yes, I did.
Very Butch Jones-ish.
A lot of Butch Jones in that one.
A lot of Butch Jones. But if he beats Oklahoma, all will be forgiven. Ravens at Bears. Bears are getting 4.5. I think the Ravens are going to go in there and absolutely kick some bear butt. Give me the Ravens. Not some bear butts, but some butts of bears.
Some cheeks.
Some bears' cheeks. Ravens minus 4.5.
Ravens minus 4.5 against the Chicago Bears from Joe Rexroad. Michelle Knezvik, your final individual selection of the day.
So I'm really just all over the board today, and why not just continue it, right, guys? So this is Bills favored by 7 over the Colts. Colts have their backs against the wall, you know. Everybody, oh, Bills, they're such an amazing team. Josh Allen, give me the Colts. And that, I guess, has to be my lock.
Because
I forgot to do my lock, so there we go.
Locking the Colts, I like it.
I kind of like that.
I feel like your hatred for the Bills and Vols coming through here.
Yeah, it is.
Michelle.
Who do you hate more, the Bills or the Vols?
Oh, the Bills.
Wow.
Oh, God. Bills Mafia. So bad.
Well, we need to stick Vol Twitter on you a little bit and see if yeah, well,
that answer will change very quickly. between, you know, Bear Butt and the Bobby Hart off in the last couple of segments, it's been a good time for Joe Rexroad.
Better Bobby Hart off than
okay,
the text line has been out of control.
Yes, it has. That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. We'll come back. We'll give the final look ahead to the Titans and Texans coming up next. Welcome your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in today from 5 to 7 p.m. for Floyd Reese, a true Titan, honoring the legacy of Floyd Reese as the Titans' former general manager as he gets inducted into the Ring of Honor at Nissan Stadium coming up this Sunday. This special will feature some of the biggest names in franchise history who knew Floyd as well as anyone. Will be hosted by Jared Stillman as well. And today's tribute to Floyd Reese brought to you by Neighbors in Nashville. Neighbors is the best sports entertainment bar in Nashville with locations in Germantown, Sylvan Park, and coming soon to Franklin as well. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rexroad, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Going to be a really cool, emotional show tonight. Floyd Reese, a true Titan. Just from 5 to 7 p.m., Jared Stillman and Caroline have put a lot of work into this, and really looking forward to listening to this tonight at 5 o'clock. If you can't catch it tonight, it will be replayed over the weekend, and it'll be tweeted out as well. So you'll have your chance to hear it. But I would encourage everyone to listen to it. Going to be awesome tonight.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. Should be great.
Jared, we give Jared a hard time a lot, but I have no doubt he will do a great job on this show. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later today. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dennis asking this question a little bit earlier on the text line. Which is worse, cheeks or dog water?
Cheeks, right?
Yeah, probably so.
Cheeks gets the nod. Give the nod to cheeks.
But at least you could like laugh at cheeks. Dog water's like, ugh, disgust, you know?
I mean, they're both good. They're both good terms.
Yeah, they're great. Shout out Brennan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he made either of them up, but
just is this our attempt to be cool?
I guess.
Like we're
hello, fellow young people.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Like when I was young, I don't think we had that many great names for things that were bad. We had names for things that were great, like awesome and radical and tubular.
You said tubular in a sentence?
Totally tubular. Dude, like in like 1984, I absolutely said tubular.
And what a time.
I mean, but we didn't have great words for things that were bad. I feel like the words for things that are bad are better now.
Yeah.
I mean, cheeks. I wish I had cheeks as a kid, you know?
Tubular. I can't get over that.
Gnarly.
I like gnarly. I've used gnarly before.
Too.
Not often, but I've used it before.
Basically, it's all the stuff that was said in Fast Times at Ridgemont High by Sean Penn.
Yeah, pretty much. Ron on the text line. Quick poll. What percentage of Titans fans have a pet named Titan or something related to the team? I say 72% of fans have a pet named Titan or something related. This is oddly specific from Ron. How many Titans fans have named a pet after either the team or a member of the team?
Well, speaking of names, I mean, we haven't spent enough of this show talking about the nickname for the Titans pass rush.
Yes.
Do we have? There was a good one, too. There was a good one yesterday. And I forget who tweeted it or said it, and it was. But I'm still on the record as I like the 300. I think that's the best one.
I like Tickle Monster.
Dude, the Tickle. I mean,
I like the Titans defense. That's what I like. Hey, look, they play for the Titans. There you go.
You're no fun. Why is Keith a Rex Burgundy?
Or the Beastie Boys?
It also came from the. Bobby Hart conversation we were having.
I get it. Now I get it. Okay. The Beastie Boys. What was it? Sack Junkie?
Yeah. Sack Junkie. Instead of Brass Monkey?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll go with. Just okay. Sack Junkie.
Sack Junkie. I don't know.
That funky junk.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do after that.
Yeah. You could play the song. You could play Brass Monkey.
Yeah.
Which I'm in favor of. But will this end? Like, until, like, there's never going to be an agreement, right? Like, no one, like, there's never going to, well, I shouldn't say never. Sometimes these things do, like, sometimes a nickname does stick and everybody rallies around it.
Well, you can't use it if Bud Dupree doesn't play Sunday, right? Like, it's for the four of them, right?
Well, I guess Ola steps in.
I mean, I guess.
But, yeah, that's true. That's true. It is about the four. And it's also not the whole defense, by the way. Some people are getting that confused. Yeah, because you can't, like you said, they're a much improved defense. Tremendous improvement.
Yeah.
They've been very good. They've won games for them. But this is not quite a defense that deserves a nickname.
No.
Like, you got to be an elite, elite defense in the NFL to actually
get a nickname. For an extended period of time.
Ideally.
Like the entire season. Like that 2000 right. Ravens defense, pretty good.
Did that have a nickname?
I don't think so.
Yeah, see? Sometimes you don't need a nickname.
Maybe did. I mean, look up Pro Football Reference. They've got all the nicknames. I didn't know Tom Brady was the Pharaoh until I looked it up on Pro Football Reference. I don't know how you look up an entire defense on Pro Football Reference, but
well, the give it a shot. The best NFL nickname. Purple People Eater is one of the greatest nicknames. You know? What were the 85 Bears?
I have no idea.
They're just known as 85 Bears. Like whenever you talk about a great defense, you're like, well, they're not exactly the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a nickname. I mean, they did a stupid Super Bowl shuffle video.
Got a texture.
They didn't really have a nickname. They had individual nicknames.
Got a texture that says, defensive nickname, the Sacks 1-5. So instead of the 6-1-5, the Sacks 1-5. What do you think of that?
It's not terrible.
I kind of like that one.
It's not terrible. It won't stick, but it's not. I mean, it's a good effort.
Ryan Porth says, you can relate the nickname to the candy conversation from earlier. Just call it the Four Musketeers. Ryan Porth needs to go back to logging off like he did before in the show.
He did have a good Borders, Barnes & Noble bookstore joke, though.
Did he, though?
Well, I mean, he had a joke. Dennis yes. came up with a graphic for his nickname, and what was it yesterday?
Doorbusters.
The Doorbusters.
Yeah.
I love the graphic it's got. It actually looks like Jeffrey Simmons busting through a door, but yeah. I don't know. Doorbusters? I don't know.
We'll see if we can figure this out over the weekend. We'll see if the Titans defensively have a performance worthy of a nickname this weekend against the Texans. We'll be back to talk all about it on Monday morning starting at 6 a.m. That does it for us today. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.